Hey, welcome to Thin Line Believers. It's Easter Sunday, or as I prefer to call it, today is Resurrection Sunday.
Resurrection Sunday.
Today is the, I can't even imagine being alive back then. The roller coaster ride for the disciples, man.
Oh my goodness.
You know, your Messiah, he's dead. He's in the grave. I mean, how, you know, Romans are after you. The Sanhedrin's looking for you. And suddenly, there's your Savior alive and well.
Right.
So, crazy. Yeah. And we'll talk about that as we get toward the end of today's podcast. But there's that peacock again. Hey, so
we're out in the woods today. And for once, you're actually getting Adam and Steve together live. We decided to go kind of up in the woods and to a peaceful spot to bring you a Resurrection Sunday podcast. So. You may hear some wildlife and a peacock scream every once in a while, but that's where we are today. So,
yeah. And if you'd like to take a look at our view, which is pretty phenomenal, jump on Instagram and check it out. Steve recorded a little video that he'll post on there. And we have an amazing view of just God's creation today. So we got that as a backdrop to kind of have a chat here. And bear with us, we don't exactly have an outline today.
Yeah,
we have a kind of a general subject matter that we'd like to talk about, but we're keeping it kind of loose and hoping the Holy Spirit intervenes here and shares what he wants to share. So, and I think what we talked about, Steve, was the problem of pain.
Yeah,
a pretty common obstacle to the Christian faith.
For sure. And I think, you know, we get caught up in the world and the worldly view of pain. And we're always searching for something to take that pain away, right? I mean, the earthly urge is to find something that will flip that pain and give you pleasure that me and Adam were talking about, you know, whether that be a drug or whether that be alcohol or whether that be sex or, you know, whatever that is that that flips that pain to pleasure. You know, that's the worldly thing that we look at, you know, but as Christians, we look to other things, you know, we look to our faith, to our relationship with Christ, to the pain that he suffered for us, to break those chains of that sin and of that pain that maybe we're experiencing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the problem of pain, it's a big obstacle sometimes for someone who's maybe teetering on the edge of faith or kind of exploring that and, you know, why. And a lot of the times the question that comes up is, well, if God is so good, then why blank?
Right.
You know, fill in the blank. Why did this person suffer? Why did that child go through this? And I think it's important to remember that we live in a fallen world. And I can tell you from personal experience, if I didn't know the fear of, let's call it, defeat, I wouldn't know the triumph of victory.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and I think what we really wanted to talk about today is the fact that, like you mentioned, we don't serve a God who sits up there and, you know, we're not an ant farm.
Right. Sits up there with his magnifying glass.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And burns us out.
Yeah.
Right.
Doling out disasters and, you know, like the insurance companies call it, these acts of God, you know.
That's
I've heard John Corson say, well, that's not Father God, that's the Godfather, you know, and I love that. We don't serve and we were not created in the image of a God who is so self-centered that he just wants to see us, you know, in the Roman Colosseum being eaten alive by lions or
right.
something. You know, we serve a God who took on the flesh, came down here, and suffered right alongside and even more than us.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we can even fathom how much he suffered.
No.
You know, when it comes down to it, taking on everybody's sins and everybody's pains and everybody's, you know, everything all at once so that we would have that freedom and we would have that mercy and that grace that wasn't there before. I mean, I can't even imagine. I've had some pain in my life, but think about what that would be.
Have you ever sweat blood before?
Nope, never been there.
Neither
nope.
have I.
Uh-uh.
No.
And if anybody on this has listened, has sweated blood, please get a hold of us, because I'd like to hear how that is, because that cannot be good.
Yeah, exactly. And the fact that he sweated blood, and here's what really intrigues me. He didn't go through all this pain and anguish because of the physical pain that he was about to go through. Hmm. He went through it because he knew that he was going to, for the first time in his life, be separated from the Father.
Right.
Do you stress out when when you know that you're going to be separated from God? Because unfortunately, I don't.
Right. Yeah.
You know, it's, I go hours, sometimes I'll finish the day and I'm like, man, I didn't pray enough.
Right.
I didn't, you know, open that line of communication with God.
Yeah.
I didn't have that fellowship. Jesus knew how detrimental that was.
Yeah.
And it doesn't bother you and me like it did him.
Oh, no.
It's terrifying.
Yeah.
So there's obviously something to that.
Oh, for sure.
So getting back to the point, though, Jesus suffered.
Mm-hmm.
He faced every temptation known to man, the Bible says.
Yeah.
Every temptation that is common to man, he faced it and he overcame it. He was offered the world.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to kind of drive home the point here, when Jesus was tempted, when Satan took him up on the mountain and said, all this I'll give to you if you'll bow down before me.
Hmm.
Jesus didn't say, it's not yours to give.
Right.
No, he said, no, you'll worship the Father and him alone. Because he knows that essentially Adam and Eve, when they chose sin,
mm-hmm.
they handed over to Satan what God intended for Adam and Eve and for us.
Yeah.
And so, unfortunately, we live in a fallen world, but I personally believe that's coming to a soon turnaround.
Well, yeah, I mean, and you look at the world side of that. I mean, people who are given the world, right? People who are given so much, and so many of those people whose lives fall apart and are destroyed when they're given everything. You know, I mean, there are those people that make impacts with what they're given, but you hear so many stories of people who are given everything, who are given riches, who are given so much, who squander it and who just, you know, end up in a completely dark place that they weren't in before, you know, and doing things that they weren't doing before when they didn't have that,
right?
You know, and when they were living much more simple, you know, it seemed like they were much more charitable at that time, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So, I mean, talking about pain, it's everywhere. It's all around us.
Mm-hmm.
But my blessed hope is that Jesus is coming back.
Yeah, for sure.
Jesus is coming back, and I serve a God who suffered right alongside me. You know, he said, take my yoke upon you, and, you know, that my burden is light.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about you, that I've experienced more pain and more hardship since I have become a Christian than I did before. And maybe I'm just more attuned to it now than I was before. I don't know if that's the case, but, you know, like in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 12, he says, you know, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. And it feels like, and I have talked to other Christians too, that it feels like there is more hardship and more persecution and that kind of thing that is coming back in these days, whether it be personal or whether it be worldly, you know, just with the way the world views, you know, Christianity and those kind of things these days, that it seems like those prophecies are aligning more and more these days. Me and Adam were talking about that before we started today, just the things that are falling into place that are those biblical prophecies that we see happening, you know, and we see coming to fruition, you know, that we read about in the Bible. So,
absolutely. And, you know, in the media anymore, there's really no attack on Islam.
No.
You know, there's terrorist attacks. Let's talk about Sri Lanka this morning.
Mm.
I mean, I don't know what the count is now because I haven't looked at it since this morning, but it was something like 8 injured. There was a couple churches bombed. Mm-hmm. That's not an attack on Islam. That's not an attack on Judaism. However, there's a big attack on Judaism right now. There's, right. You know, those are God's chosen people. Of course there's anti-Semitism, but there is a lot of persecution, and I'll say even just disdain mm-hmm. for the Christian faith right now.
Well, I was reading, or I heard it on the radio that church membership, if you will, and I'm not one that leans on those numbers per se, but that is, I mean, it's a factor of how many people are worshiping and going to church and making that effort to, you know, to have that relationship, right? I mean, you don't have to have a church to have a relationship with Christ. But they were saying that church membership in the United States is at an all-time low for the counts that they're talking about.
Oh, I believe it.
And it's, you know, you see, you know, the way the country is turning right now, that, yeah, I believe when that came out, I was like, yeah, that makes sense with all that's going on and the way that the world is shifting. You know, we see that coming into light right now.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think there's a lot of people looking for the short term easy because, yeah, you're right. Jesus said that, you know, if you choose to follow him, you're going to suffer. You're going to lose loved ones. Mm-hmm. You know, people are going to hate you and persecute you. And in no place in the Bible did Jesus ever say, this is going to be easier.
Right.
Yeah. As soon as you accept me, this is going to be easier. But I promise you, it's worth it.
Oh, yeah. Where I can speak for me. I mean, where I came from to where I am today and where, you know, my marriage is today compared to my past marriage. Oh, I mean, yeah. I compare those every single day. Uh-huh. And just, I mean, it's kind of cliche, I guess, but a wretch that I was before, you know, compared to where I am and my spiritual walk and my relationship. Sure, I sin every day. It happens. I mean, and I'm not proud of those things, but I know that I can come to Christ and I can have that relationship and work on those things with him and overcome the things that I have mm-hmm. and that I will continue to do through that relationship.
Right.
I mean, and just seeing those changes, that would never have happened without that relationship.
Yeah, I agree. I wouldn't be where I am today without faith, without Jesus Christ. I mean, you have walked through a lot of my trials with me.
Yeah.
You've seen a lot of the things that I've gone through. And of course, a lot of it's, you know, semi-private. I know God's always there, but you know, there's other stuff that you go through that I wouldn't want to know what it would have been like to go through without it. You know, without that hope and without the foundation.
Yeah.
To go through these storms, I can't imagine trying to go through it without God.
Yeah. I mean, you look at not just going through it with him, but the people that are put in your life to go through certain things. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, there are people that have been in certain parts of my life that have come and gone and have come back, and just, it's only God that I could put in the place that put those people there. Right. I mean, he has to be responsible because there's no other explanation for those people in my life at the time being the people that I needed to be there, kind of thing. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. So let's talk about somebody maybe struggling with some pain.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking any kind of pain,
right?
You know, mental, spiritual, physical, anybody going through these different sufferings. How do you reach God? How do you justify the existence of God when there's so much pain?
Hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And at those times of pain, mm-hmm. I know I've talked about it, I think, a couple times in podcasts before. You know, just when you come out of those places of pain and you have held on to God during those times, and when you come out of those valleys and you see what God did through all that, you know, and it parallels with what God did through sending his son to suffer for us, right? I mean, we go through those pains and those sufferings and we come out on the other end with such a stronger relationship.
True. Yeah.
I mean, I firmly believe that, because the sufferings that I have gone through in those times, that was when my faith was the biggest, right? I mean, those are the times I was crying out to God. Those are the times, whether it be I'm crying out to him and I'm yelling at him in anger because I don't like what's going on, he can take that, right? I mean, we talk about that all the time. Yeah. God's a big God. He can take that we're mad at him from time to time. But the, you know, the steel that builds, you know, in that fire that you're in, is so much stronger when you come out, you know, and that relationship, it builds that character. It builds that testimony that we've talked about so many times that we can carry forward and we can bring to others, whether they be believers that are struggling in those times, that we can help through those storms, or whether it be, you know, just new believers that just don't see how that can be possible. Right.
Yeah. I think C.S. Lewis was the one that said, God whispers to us in our pleasures, but yells to us in our pains.
Right.
And pain is inevitable, and we might as well expect it, because pain's inevitable. However, I have a blessed hope. I know that when I cry out to God, he's going to hear me.
Yeah. Well, it's funny when you break that quote down, it's so much deeper, because that's the same way we are.
Yeah.
When we're in pain, we're crying out.
Oh yeah.
You know, we're crying out to God. Why is this going on? How could you let this happen? But when we're not, and when we're in a good place and we're healthy and all that, we're so quiet.
Yeah. I don't really need.
Yeah. You know, I'm good now. Yeah. You know. Yeah. So it's.
Yeah, and I can tell. I can tell you personally, that's how God reached me.
Yeah.
And it says in Revelation, behold, I stand at the door knocking. And that's present tense forever.
Yeah.
Behold, I stand at the door knocking. That's going to go until we stop breathing.
Yeah.
You know, for those of us who don't accept him, man, he is going to continue to knock on that door until we stop breathing, because he knows what's best for us. Yeah. And what's best for us is his presence in our lives. Because he knows that this lifespan here is just a blip compared to the rest of eternity.
Absolutely.
And I know that there's more to it than just this world. There has to be. There's too much evidence of God's existence. And if it's pain that's holding you back from having a true relationship with God, open up the book of John and read it. Read it from one end to the other. Because John, the apostle of love, is going to show you that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And I tell you what, I don't want to perish. In church today, listening to John speak, for some reason, and I don't know if it had anything to do with what he was saying, but I had this image in my head of my life without Christ and what it came down to was me buried alive in a coffin and complete darkness, no way out. There's no light.
Ugh.
And, you know, Jesus is the light of the world. And without that light, that's how I feel that I would be without that light.
Yeah.
In a place of complete darkness.
Yeah. And there are so many that's where we would be. You know, we would not be where we are today and without Christ's love, without his mercy, you know, and without that light. You know, talking about, you know, he will knock, you know, just almost annoyingly at your door, you know, and he will keep doing it like a little kid, you know, trying to get into your room or whatever, you know, just knock, 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 knock. But, you know, I kind of feel like I'm that way with some of the non-believer friends of mine, right? Where I keep, you know, knocking on their door and I keep inviting them to church, even though I keep getting a no every time it comes, right? But I'm going to keep telling them, you know, come to church, because I know what it's done.
Yeah.
I know what that relationship has done and I know what it can do for them. So, you know, we need to be that disciple that we're called to be, right? Yeah.
Well, that reminds me of, 11 of the 12 original apostles,
right?
Right? they kept preaching and kept sharing the word because they had seen the resurrected Christ and they knew
right.
that he is the way, the truth, and the life. Stephen was stoned to death, right? And I don't mean marijuana. I mean, they threw right. rocks at him brutally until he was killed. Peter crucified upside down, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And John. John was boiled in oil. They couldn't kill him. So they put him on the island of Patmos. They secluded him on an island all by himself. And that's where he received the book of Revelation.
Yeah.
All these apostles were killed for their faith and so many others. I mean, Caesar Nero killed people. He would dip them in wax and light them on fire.
Right.
And say, oh, you're the light of the world, right?
Right, right.
Burn, burn. People died for this faith who had witnessed Jesus and knew that he had risen from the grave, that he was the only way.
Yeah.
So, present sufferings, yeah, they suck.
Yeah,
they do. And we're going to go through them. But we have a God that's going to go through them right with us. And why? Because he was buried.
Mm-hmm.
He was buried for 3 days
mm-hmm.
in that complete darkness. He took the wrath of God. He paid for our sins.
Yeah. Well, I think living where we live, we owe it to him. I mean, to be that light and to spread that light to others, because we are in a place in the world where we're not going to die for our sins, or for our, not for our sins, but for our faith necessarily, right?
Right.
I mean, where we live, we don't have to be afraid to be Christians, which means we should be that much more bold
in our
faith, right? I mean, we're not having people seek us out to kill us like we see all over the world right now, where if they know you're a Christian, they're going to come kill you. I mean, that's happening all over the world right now if you read the news.
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't we be so much more bold here?
Yeah.
I mean, those people are being bold with their faith, facing death every day.
I am so glad you said that, because this just hit me like a ton of bricks the other day. I am invincible until my work here is done.
Hmm.
I'm not going anywhere until God says, you're done.
All right. Yep. Time to come home.
So spread the word, you know. And I'm not saying go be crazy and wear a sandwich board, but, you know, listen to the tug of the Holy Spirit and share with those people that you're called to share with.
Mm-hmm.
Your testimony means more than you'll ever know. So let's talk about the cross, man.
Yeah.
We've talked about the death, but today is about victory.
Yes, it is.
You know, Resurrection Sunday is all about victory. I'm sure you know plenty about the Holy of Holies, right? The veil.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that.
Oh, man.
Because that that just gives me chills.
Yeah.
When I understand, when I finally kind of grasp what really truly happened there, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah. It's, I can't wrap my head around it. I mean, really, to think about just that moment and that, yeah, it's mind blowing.
Oh, it is. So for those of you, our listeners, who it may be quite a few of us, aren't really super familiar with the history of Judaism. So when the temple was built, there's an area called the Holy of Holies.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And once a year, only once a year on Yom Kippur, the, boy, somebody's shooting out here. the head priest would go in and he would present the offering before the Lord, and he would actually wear garments that had bells on them.
Hmm.
And in between each bell, so there was several bells, I don't know the number, I could look it up, but that's take too long, was a pomegranate. And so as he moved, these bells would play a very beautiful melody. And they would tie a string around his ankle. And he was the only one that was allowed to go past this veil, this very heavy, very thick veil, into the Holy of Holies to make an offering,
mm-hmm.
a sin offering. And if he went in there, and if he was impure in any way, if he had sin on his heart or anything like that, he would die.
He would die. He'd drop right there.
He was in the Shekinah They called it the Shekinah glory. He was in the presence of God. And that junk cannot survive in the presence of God. So right. If there was something evil in him, something impure, something unclean, he would die. The bells would stop ringing. And the priests would drag pull the rope out, right? Drag him out of there.
Yep.
And then guess what? Whatever your name is, you're next.
Good luck.
Don't let us down.
Right.
You know, but so they would go in there, they would make this offering, and if it was accepted, he would come out and they would know that their sins were forgiven and they were good for another year until the next Yom Kippur, right?
Right.
So here we are, Passover. Okay. By the way, parenthetically, Passover was from the days of Moses, right? When the angel of death passed over the Israelites' camp and he would, the angel would pass over any house that had the blood of a young lamb, a young pure lamb spread on the doorposts, a symbol of the cross.
Right.
And anybody that didn't have that blood spread on their doorposts, their firstborn male child would die. So, fast forward to Jesus' day. He's crucified on Passover.
Right.
Our sins are covered because we live under the blood of the Lamb. Now, it says Jesus died, I can't remember how they phrase it, the ninth hour or something like that, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, basically. At that time, massive earthquake, right? And that huge, thick, probably like 6 to 8 inch veil that separated the rest of the court from the Holy of Holies was torn right into.
Yep.
And it's the meaning of it is so amazing. Jesus paid your sin. Now you can come boldly in the presence of the Lord. We don't have to have the Jewish priest do it because our high priest did it for us.
Yeah.
He was the acceptable offering.
Yeah, he took it all for us.
Took it all.
Yeah, and it's just amazing. I mean, like I said, it's just so hard to, when you really sit and think about it and you really ponder on it and try and wrap your head around it all, it's hard to do.
Oh, man.
I mean, there's a lot that goes into that.
Yes.
You know, that is just, it's so amazing and incredible, and the evidence that is in line for it all is just, it, yeah.
Yep.
It's just, all you can do is, I mean, just sit there like in those cartoons with your mouth agape and just like,
yeah,
he did this for me. He did this for us.
Oh, and yeah. And just think about it. If it had been only you, he'd have done it for you, man.
Yeah.
He'd have done it for me.
Every one of us.
Me, and I'm a friggin' turd. I mean, he loves each and every one of us that much. And that's why this morning, in morning worship, I had been pondering this quite a bit this week. And, you know, worship this morning, it had the meaning that it was supposed to. You know, I'm there praising a God who's accepting my offering of worship and praise. And yet I'm totally unworthy to even offer such thing. But I have Jesus in me, and he sees Jesus. He doesn't see me. He doesn't see my filth.
Yep.
You know, kind of like, oh, geez, I'm going to screw this up. Was it Isaiah or was it Ezekiel? I can't remember that came in, and he was in filthy rags, and Satan pointed him out. He's filthy, and God said, give him a new, you know, give him a clean white robe. And,
right.
You know, you're forgiven.
Well, we've all been given clean white robes.
Oh, man, yeah. So
when we don't deserve it.
It just brought me to tears, and I didn't let my wife see because I'm a man, daggone it. But, you know, it's just amazing that God, who created all this, would put on flesh, and not even like, you know, blue-eyed, blonde-haired, not the guy that you see on the, you know, Bible movies. The Romans actually had to ask, you know, where is this Jesus of Nazareth?
Right.
And because they didn't recognize him as being, you know, a beautiful man or something. He just took on a normal flesh.
Yeah. Yeah. This was a normal guy.
Yeah.
But not.
But not.
So, you know, we more than anything wanted to hit on a couple points today. And, and drive home that point of, you know, end with the cross and just how amazing and yeah, amazing. I don't know. I'm going to use amazing because that's what's coming to mind. Just how incredible that sacrifice was for us when we don't deserve it at all. Right. You know, just to sit and think about that this week, you really ponder on it. Like Adam was talking, read through, you know, one of the gospels there, you know, one of the, you know, the accounts of that, of the time before and coming up to, and of those days, you know, of Passover and the 3 days after when he rose, you know, just sit and really think about those things. I mean, we go to church, and a lot of people, the Christers, you know, they go to the Easter and Christmas, and Christmas, but you know, don't really sit and spend the time to take in how amazing that is and what the Lord has sacrificed for us. So,
And I'll tell you what, I've seen some guys that, well, me included, to think, oh, I don't need to worship. You know, it's cool. I don't want to look like an idiot. But when it finally starts to sink in and your spiritual maturity starts to actually mature a little bit, man, that stuff goes away.
It does, for sure.
I sing like an idiot in my car now. And, you know, pray with people I never thought I would have. And it's life-changing because it's the Holy Spirit in you.
Yeah,
so,
sure. So
we've talked about pain. So I'd like to give some scriptures for our listeners.
Yeah, that'd be great.
To kind of maybe go back and do a little studying on. So my favorite, man, Paul, this guy was, by all accounts, by all, you know, Bible scholars, he was an ugly man. He was a short man. He was a sick, like physically sick man. He had eyesight problems, likely from when he was stoned one of those times, not by weed again, but, you know, stoned for his faith and left for dead. So, and I've quoted this one before because it's just, it's so powerful to me. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're going to start at verse 7 here, about halfway through. It says, therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, quote, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness, end quote. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. How true is that, man? How true is that? I mean, absolutely. In my weakest times, my faith is strongest. God comes through every time, and God is telling you, you need me. Your eternity is secure with me. I am the all-powerful one, he says. Don't try to do this alone. I don't care how manly you are. I'm your father. I'm your Abba.
Right.
Come to me.
Yeah.
Steve, you got something?
Yeah, another one. You know, James chapter 1, verse 12.
Oh, yes.
You know, I mean, that's one I go to a lot during during those times. You know, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. I mean, just knowing that you go through those times and you're in that low time and you'll persevere that and you come out the other end, like we were talking about earlier, you know, having that promise from him that he's still there and your faith has even grown even more during those times, you know, that's just one of those verses that when people are going through those times, I bring up a lot, you know, just knowing that you're going to come out the other end. It's going to be amazing.
There's two types of relationships. I believe that those who go through pains, it's either going to really solidify their relationships. It's going to push them apart. Don't be those ones that push it apart.
Yeah.
So here you go. Romans chapter 8, verses 22 through, what do I got here? 24. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we await eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? our hope is in Jesus Christ.
Right.
You know, and he lives in us. And that's, I mean, look around you, man, the world is groaning, longing for the return of this, of the King, man.
Yeah, for sure.
Jesus is coming soon. And, you know, we talked about current events, man, I just have a sense of urgency that even if I'm not raptured out of here tomorrow, I could die on my way home today.
Yeah.
So there's an urgency knowing that any moment God could call me home.
Yeah.
So
for sure. So let's I'm gonna give you one more. John chapter 16, verse 33. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world.
Amen.
Just talking about the world these days and just knowing where it is and where it's going, just take heart that the Lord has overcome all that. Mm-hmm. And he will. And our faith in him and the sacrifices and the grace that he showed us will bring us home to him, you know, without having to do anything but that.
Yeah.
You know, just accepting him as your Lord and Savior and having that faith and doing that work and being the disciple that he calls you to, you don't even have to do all that latter stuff. Yeah. You know, just accepting him as your Lord and Savior. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a step that I know...
It's a tough hurdle for some.
Yeah. Some of the guys that listen, guys and gals that listen, have taken that step and maybe fallen off, mm-hmm. you know, and you can take that step again. You can't just take, you don't have to just take it once. And if you mess up, you're done and you're out of the, you know, no, take that step again.
Yeah.
Devote yourself to him. Devote yourself to that he is your Lord and Savior and do those things. So what I thought was we could pray for the guys and gals who listen today,
yeah.
and maybe just have some of them think about, you know, that prayer in their heart, redevoting their life and, you know, making that step if they haven't, or if they need to make it again to on this Resurrection Sunday,
yeah.
you know, to bring them back into, you know, to that center of being devoted and accepting Christ as your Lord and Savior. So,
yeah, and for those, just real quick, mm-hmm. those who may be wondering, well, how do I know I'm saved? How can I be saved? Mm-hmm. I love J.D. Farag's ABCs of Salvation. Mm-hmm. A, accept the Lord as your Savior. Admit you're a sinner and accept the Lord as your Savior. B, believe on him whom the Father has sent. Believe in Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And C, call out to him. It's really that simple.
That's, yeah, ABC.
Yeah, there's no works involved. Right. This has been paid for.
Well, let's pray for these folks, and then we'll sign off for the week.
Kick us off, man. I'll finish it up.
Lord Jesus, we we are so thankful for you and for your blessings and for sending your Son, knowing. You know, your Son, knowing that he was going to go through what he was going to go through, and that the pain and suffering that he was going to have for us and the sacrifice he was going to make, you know, just be with those who are listening to us, be with us, as a ministry, reaching everybody to be able to bring that word and make those impacts, but more so be with those who are listening to us. To soften their heart and to knock down those walls that maybe they've built up in their hearts, to have them reach out to you again, Lord, to have them, whether they're in pain, whether they're in suffering right now, or whether they're just in a good spot and they're losing sight of you because of that, have them reach out to you, Lord, and call out to you like Adam was talking about, just to accept you, whether it be back in their life or in your life for the first time as their Lord and Savior, Lord.
Absolutely. Oh, Father. Thank you. Thank you for defeating death. There is no darkness, just the absence of light. Father, be a light for our listeners. May they reflect your light so that others can see that there's something different about them.
Mm-hmm.
please help us to start to grasp just how amazing it is that you took on the flesh and died for us in our place, but that we serve a God who's not defeated by death, but defeated the grave for us. Please impact our lives and the lives of those around us. Please help us in our sufferings and reach our listeners and first responders everywhere, especially regardless of what means. Lord, please never stop knocking as you said you won't. We believe that you won't. We thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
So guys, keep tuning in. Share this, please, if there's somebody that it would impact. Steve can attest we don't do this for any financial gain. You'll notice there are no commercials during this because we're not making any money off of this. It's not why we do it. We don't do it to prop ourselves up or anything like that. We do it because we love you guys and because we have experienced something so amazing in our relationship with the Lord that we want you to experience that too. And so, you know, if you've experienced that, if you think this podcast can be helpful to somebody, please be bold and share it. If nothing else, share your own testimony with somebody. That's one thing that I almost forgot. We got another testimony came in. And this is a good one, but I told my buddy I wouldn't I wouldn't spread his name. So let's finish just by reading this because it's another good testimony and I don't want to let it go by the wayside because he was bold enough to share it with us.
Absolutely.
He says, I was raised Christian in a Christian household, church every Sunday, baptized, prayers at dinner, etc. I graduated high school and went into the workforce, had a boss I got along with quite well, but he was a highly educated atheist. He would bring up points and arguments to me and that really started to challenge my faith. I had no answer. I came to the point where I either had to accept his point of view or research my own beliefs to see if he was wrong. I spent the next few years studying the Bible, reading apologetics, and listening to theology podcasts. By the way, side note, apologetics is an explanation for our faith, essentially. And you know that, but I... So he notes here Ravi Zacharias, whom I listen to a lot, C.S. Lewis, J.P. Moreland, Hugh Ross, etc., etc. I grew very strong in my faith. After a few more years of maturing and gaining wisdom the hard way, I realized that knowledge isn't enough. Having a prayer-driven relationship with Christ is what matters most. I'll never claim to be a, quote, good Christian, unquote, but I know I'll be a Christian for eternity. I would highly recommend to anyone struggling with their faith to do their own research before succumbing to faithlessness. Christian apologetics are an extremely important first step. I gotta agree with my buddy here.
Yeah, for sure.
Know your faith, be prepared to defend it.
Yep.
And be prepared, the Bible says, to give an answer for your faith.
Yeah.
So with that, we better sign off here because we have been going for 43 minutes now, Steve.
Well, it's nothing like Resurrection Day to do that, so.
Absolutely.
Hey, guys, tune in again next week and have a blessed week. And if there's anything that we can do for you or pray for you for, please send those. And anybody who's willing to share their testimony, send that as well. Like we said, we'll keep names out if guys aren't comfortable or gals aren't comfortable with that. And until next week, we'll talk to you later.
Absolutely. God bless.